copywriter here at Mood.
And I'm your other host, Ashley. I run the social media accounts.
And today we are doing our first of a series of deep dives into style icons. We are going to be talking about the one and only Diana, Princess of Wales.
The myth, the legend.
Oh, she's
Princess
so
Diana.
Amazing. As we've been researching her these past few weeks, I really fell in love with her.
Oh, yeah. I've been binge watching bad YouTube documentaries about her.
So bad. So weird. We are going to be diving in, and we'll also have a few special guests that we'll introduce.
Yes.
In just a moment. And stick to the end of our podcast today. We have a lot of exciting things coming up at Mood. Obviously, it's November, Black Friday's coming up, so if you want to hear a little bit of a sneak peek about your Black Friday deals, tune in to the end. All right, you want to get into this?
Yes, let's
dive right in. Diana Spencer was born on July 1st, 1961 at Park House in Sandringham, England. At the age of 16, she first met Prince Charles when he was dating her sister, Sarah. He was 29 at the time. They later reconnected when she was 18, and after 13 dates, they were engaged to be married. After marrying Prince Charles on July 29th, 1981, she became Diana, Princess of Wales. She was often called the People's Princess because of her genuine, down-to-earth personality, her hands-on approach to parenting, and her dedication to charity.
A major influence on the fashion of the time, she used the paparazzi's interest in her marriage and personal life to bring attention to the various causes that she supported, including the AIDS crisis and banning landmines. After passing away in a car crash in Paris in 1991, her legacy continues to be felt throughout the fashion and pop culture world. In 2021, we are seeing a renewal of interest in Diana's life and wardrobe due to popular media such as The Crown.
Yeah, I'm really excited to dive into this.
Yes.
And dive into Diana's life. Obviously, what we just said is probably the most biographical we are going to get. We are focusing really on her looks and how she used fashion to enact change in the world. If you want a full deep dive into her life, because we just don't have the time to cover it, and she is a really fascinating figure, I suggest the You're Wrong About podcast. They have a 5-episode series on her, and it's really amazing and super in-depth, so I highly recommend that. I also would like to introduce our special guest today.
Yay!
So Ash and I are of a younger age, not specified, and we both have moms who grew up in the 80s. And like many of our listeners might relate to, either they grew up in the 80s or they have moms who grew up in the 80s, they're obsessed with Princess Diana. I don't know what it is about Gen X moms, but they're all obsessed with her. It's a universal thing. And we thought we would get our moms to come on the podcast and talk about their own reactions to Diana, their memories of her when she was alive, and really provide that perspective of Diana as a public figure, because unfortunately she passed away, you know, before either of us were born.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were even talking about this in a meeting. We don't have the kind of celebrity culture that was around for Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of universal love for her.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've definitely talked about it before, that just the point in time where Diana's life started to be very closely watched, the world started to really truly be connected during that time period. So it was kind of unfortunate for her that all of that happened at that point in time.
And it's very fascinating to look back on, especially because she's so universally loved. I mean, obviously you watch some weird documentaries
YouTube
on YouTube
documentary
where they were mean to her.
Yeah.
And obviously the royal family and sometimes the paparazzi would be really hard on her for things. But now, like in 2021, she's very universally loved.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to me to have a public figure that is so well liked and that has very high, quote unquote, approval ratings.
Because it's very rare.
I can't think of a figure now that would have that.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. I can't even think of a figure beyond Diana. I don't know. It's very interesting. So our moms will be joining us throughout the podcast. We interviewed them previously on our own, and we're just going to intersperse some of the things they said. They had some really great insight on just Diana and going through Diana's rise and seeing it from a sort of spectator her perspective, as most people would, because, of course, we don't have any connections to the royal family.
Huh.
That I know
about.
That'd
be a story.
I know. Before we get into these looks, we would like to take a second for our moms to introduce themselves.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Jessica Kong. I'm a teacher assistant at Somerset Hills YMCA. I am also a sci-fi fantasy romance writer.
So first, would you like to introduce yourself? I know who you are.
I'm Linda Begley. I'm Camille's mom.
Yeah, what else do you do?
I'm the greatest fashion influence on her life.
Some would say otherwise. Some do me.
I am an activity director who runs the daily activities for residents who have memory impairment.
You want to get started with really the first look that I guess Diana was not photographed in, but in the public eye in the way that she would be for the rest of her life, the engagement photo shoot.
The engagement.
Yes, to Prince Charles, who I think was much older. He would have been in his 30s.
Yeah, he was a...
And she's 19, and in this picture,
you
can very much tell. And we're not, look, we're not hating on anyone who has an age gap in their relationship, but we know how Prince Charles and Diana worked out, so of course we're being a little shady to him. She's wearing a blue suit with a pussy bow neckline blouse. She's got a black leather clutch, and of course she has her big sapphire engagement ring, which she bought from a catalog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The outfit was, the suit was bought off the rack.
Yeah. I think that's why the more I researched this today, the more I was like, oh, this is so cool. Because these four looks, I think, really track her kind of evolution of style. Obviously, we'll get into more. But she talked about how she just didn't have enough clothes because apparently the royal family changes like four times a day.
Yeah.
For... They dress for dinner and for tea and I don't know, I'm not royal. So she just didn't have enough clothes because she, you know, had a wardrobe like you or I have where we have like maybe five pairs of pants that we wear all the time and like a couple shirts and just a regular wardrobe. So it's really funny to me that, I don't know, this was just bought off the rack and the royal family were like, okay, you have to deal with this. Like,
yeah. I was reading an article that her and her mom immediately went shopping and bought multiple pairs of outfits that she could wear because she didn't have enough, like what you mentioned. And then this outfit was specifically bought at Harrods.
Yeah.
And it was a Kohana label suit.
The other thing is I think this really shows Diana's... It's both her first introduction into the larger world as a member of the royal family and her first... big outing as a fashion icon. The suit is a little more frilly than the designs that she would wear later in her life.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like I think it's a really, even those, these four looks we'll talk about some more, but she tended towards the end of her life to prefer more sleek looks, more color blocking, and this one is a little more frilly. It has like this big bow neckline and a scalloped finish on the jacket, and it's a lot more girlish. And I mean, the second look we're talking about is very girlish.
That's one of the thing about Princess Diana that always fascinated me, that her life was so washed through a magnifying glass that and she got into the public eye from such a young age that the world basically saw her grow up, and that was very prevalent in her outfits, like her early outfits from the engagement to her early days in royal life. Her outfits were so frilly and so very girlish. Like, you can tell that she was a teenager, like a late teenager, early 20s. And then as she started she was shy, you could tell she was unsure. And that also reflected in her outfits and her body language. And then as she became more confident and she grew older, the outfits became more streamlined and tighter fit. And she wasn't afraid to show more skin.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
I think
to
she
me.
Also was allowed to show more skin.
Yeah.
Like when she basically left the working royal life, she was able to wear what she wanted more.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What was your first memory of Princess Diana, and do you remember what she was wearing?
Wow. My first memory of Princess Diana. Do you remember how old I am? I was very young back then. Oh, wow. That was in the 70s. I was in my single digits. Diana was 16 years old.
Yeah, she was young.
And I was way younger than her. So I would say she was dating Charles, and they were making a big deal about that because he was way older than her.
Yeah,
it was kind of
gross.
Which exactly why they were making a big deal out of it. A lot of people were saying that. Well, a lot of people were not thrilled about the fact that he was dating a 16-year-old.
Yeah, it was gross.
It was. I can't exactly remember what she was. Let's put it this way. She was wearing. She looked like she was wearing a lot of school, young girl school outfits. If she was going to preppy school.
What was your first memory of Princess Diana, and what was she wearing?
My first memory of Princess Diana was the photograph that they took of her at nursery school when she was. Yeah, when she was photographed, I believe without her knowledge, and her dress was very diaphanous, her skirt. And because of that, the photographers utilized the light, and it created quite a stir because she was not wearing a slip. And I thought that was very impolite and unfair of those photographers to do that to her while she was at work trying to do her job with the nursery school students. And she was kind enough to let them take a photo, yet they used the light for their advantage.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that that is the sort of first memory of her, because I think that specific moment really set the tone for her whole life and her whole relationship with the press.
I agree. I think it set the tone of what would lay ahead for her. And she was, I think us in that generation, we saw her as someone we could relate to. Here's someone who's working with kids and doing the best they can and wants to marry their prince. And here they almost took advantage of her by photographing her in an unfair lighting situation.
All right, you want to get into the wedding dress?
Yes.
Her wedding dress was designed by David and Elizabeth Emmanuel. It's made out of ivory silk taffeta with lace from Queen Mary, who would be Charles's grandmother. Mm-hmm. It has a 25-foot long train.
That's wild.
Yeah, I think when you think of princess wedding dresses, you probably think of this dress. It has giant sleeves, this huge ruffle at the front. It's lacy. It's taffeta. She's got this huge big veil and a beautiful large bouquet. I mean, everything is sort of over
just
the top.
A fairy tale.
Yeah.
Just a fantasy dress.
And it's very much, I think, representative of her mindset at the time. I mean, she obviously wanted this to be a fairy tale. It was sold to the public as a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. Even I was watching a clip from the wedding. Even the vows said, like, oh, this is the stuff of fairy tales, like the prince and princess meet and live happily ever after.
It's so, especially looking back on it, so much pressure so early on in this relationship. It just feels like it was set up to fail.
Yeah, and I think also it's sad to me because I think Charles and Diana are two people who, it's one of those situations where they were probably bad together but good with other people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think just because of the immense pressure for Charles to get married. And
yeah.
I mean, there's even a story how Princess Diana almost backed out of the wedding, but her sister said, oh, no, your face is on the tea towels. So it's like, that's... I can't imagine.
No, it's so sad. Two people who didn't really know each other from completely different walks of life, from completely different generations.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, it was never going to work out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
we're bumming ourselves out way too early.
Of course, the wedding was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you when her wedding was aired? Did you watch it? What were your thoughts about it?
Well, everyone watched it. I was in Naperville, Illinois, graduating from high school, because I'm quite young.
We don't have to say how old you are.
No, we're not saying how old I am. And the thoughts on the wedding was this was, you watched it, she went in, and that dress was so much of the 80s, the big sleeves, the bows, and then she got out of the carriage and the huge train. And that was just such a great moment to see all that. And then the other thing I remember about the wedding, she made a specific point of going in as a commoner. And then during the wedding, she went back to sign the marriage license and she came out and she had her tiara on as a princess.
Mm. Do you remember, didn't we see the wedding dress?
We saw the wedding dress at a Museum of Natural History.
Yeah.
I made both of my daughters go to see that fang dress because it's very, very heavy, very iconic in fashion. And I think it's a great description of the 1980s fashion, and every girl should see what a princess wore.
Yeah. I don't remember it well because I was a little younger. But I remember how big it was and just really, because you see the pictures of it and it's hard to tell sometimes because the angle's from so far away. Mm-hmm. But then when you see it up close, you're really like, oh, wow, like this is the size of a whole room.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but it was a bonding moment with everybody we waited in line with because they all talked about watching the wedding, and it was a lot of moms my age bringing their daughters to see the dress that they watched.
Where were you when her wedding was aired, and did you watch it?
I was at home with my own mom, and I definitely watched it. I was lying down right in front of the TV. You would not be able to pull me away from that TV, and I watched every moment of it.
And How old were you?
I was young. I was, she was married, what, in 81? We have to do the math. But I was very young, and I fell in love with her dress. I loved the train of her dress, and I always fantasized about having a train like that.
So we're going to move on to what is called the Travolta dress.
Very stunning midnight blue ensemble. Yes,
I love this dress so much. Out of all of these, I think this is the one I would wear. The designer was Victor Edelstein. It was inspired by Edwardian fashion. As you said, it's in a beautiful midnight blue velvet. And she just looks so gorgeous in all the pictures of this dress.
She's just a movie star.
Literally. I mean, she's dancing next to a movie star, and he is very much not the focus of this. Because it's not only John Travolta, it's like primetime Saturday Night Fever, like best John Travolta.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
peak era John
Travolta. Peak John Travolta. And she is looking just so stunning. She has this beautiful pearl and sapphire beaded necklace on, which is huge, obviously, because it's from the royal family. Huge earrings, and it's such a classy silhouette. You know, it's a little sexy, but it's not too revealing.
And yeah.
It's one of those silhouettes that is so timeless. Like, I could see anyone wearing this dress at any time. Some of her outfits are very 1980s. Like, her dress is a little 1980s. Big sleeves, big ruffles, big train. And she really set the precedent for that for 80s wedding dresses. But yes. This one is so timeless.
Not to mention the taffeta.
Oh, yeah. This look is just so timeless and so beautiful. And it apparently became a huge scandal because she was dancing with Travolta in this dress. And everyone thought she must have been, like, flirting with John Travolta or whatever. Even though, at the same time, Charles was dancing with another woman. It was just nice to dance with a guest at a function. And so this is also a great example of how the press would take something as innocent as just dancing with someone at a function to be nice and completely misinterpreting it and saying, like, oh, you know, because she's a lady, she must be, like, flirting with John Travolta. And apparently there was this rumor that, like, they danced all night. That's not true. She danced with other people. Like, it's legit.
Yeah, there are actual photos that you can look up of her dancing with other people.
Like, yeah, I think she danced with, like, Clint Eastwood. Oh, Tom Selleck as well. Like, some very famous people. Of course, the press in her lifetime really latched on to anything they could to kind of bring her down.
Yeah.
Which is really sad and unfortunate. And during this time, I mean, this is one of those times where apparently she and Prince Charles were doing really well. Like, he told her she looked gorgeous and, like, gave her these jewels to wear. And it just makes, again, we're bumming ourselves out way too early. But her life just makes me sad a lot of the time.
It's very sad. Huh. It is a modern day Shakespearean tragedy.
Were there any Princess Diana looks you recreated?
Princess Diana looks that I recreated.
Or that you were inspired by, or that you would wear now in everyday life?
I would have loved to have the Princess Diana dress that she wore with John Travolta when she danced at the White House. Mm-hmm. I believe that dress was inspired by a lot of 1940s films, especially my favorite, Gilda. Mm-hmm. With Rita Hayworth. And then that she utilized what was her necklace as a headdress, a lot, a choker. She used that as a headdress, and that was so different for that time. No one had done that. The confidence she felt in that dress when she danced with John Travolta, you could tell, because everyone, if you were at a party and John Travolta was there at that time, you wanted to dance with him.
Yeah, I mean, you would dance with John Travolta too.
In the 1980s, I would have.
To sort of lift our spirits, you want to get into the revenge dress.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Probably, besides the wedding dress, one of the most iconic looks from Princess Diana.
She looks so stunning. The dress is by Christina Stambolian. It's an off-the-shoulder black silk chiffon evening gown. Like many of these dresses, especially the last three, there's an entire Wikipedia page about this dress and the reactions it caused and what it said in the press about it and how Charles reacted. I mean, this is... Talk about dressing for the moment.
This is
dressing for the moment. She looks amazing. I mean, she's... When we were talking about how before she looked very shy, in this picture she's like striding out with confidence.
So confident. And she's glowing, basically.
Yeah, glowing. Mm-hmm. And like her hand, the picture we chose, her hand is like kind of outstretched to greet someone. And it's like, you know, I can see why people like our mothers were so captivated by this woman, because mm-hmm. she just looks fantastic. And she looks so good. Love her.
And this look... Also, like, even, like, when we were mentioning that a lot of her looks, not all of them, but a lot of her looks are very timeless mm-hmm. and very popular even today, and a lot of people are trying to reproduce those looks and dress like those looks. Two things. One, my mom wore a dress very similar to this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, very similar neckline, off the shoulder. Also, like, even if you look up the revenge dress... So many recommended shops pop up with, dresses that look exactly like the revenge dress or, like, similar silhouettes. And it's just, it's definitely a silhouette and a look that's absolutely timeless.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we should say why this is called the revenge dress.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. we're just so stunned by how amazing she looks. We just forgot.
Yeah, we got too excited. We started talking.
Yes. So this is called the revenge dress because I believe 2 days prior to this event, Prince Charles basically said on television that he was having an affair with Camilla throughout the entire marriage. And Diana basically said, well, screw you. Mm-hmm. So she picked a dress where she looks confident and stunning. And this is also something she would have never been able to wear when she was with Charles mm-hmm. and with the royal family. I mean, obviously to our eyes, I mean, she looks great, but it's not like a dress where we would go like, oh my gosh, she's so revealing.
Yeah.
Like she's wearing so much. But when you're in the royal family, a neckline this low, which, I mean, again, it's not plunging. Like, also, wear what you want, whatever. But when you're in the royal family, you have these rules. So I think part of the reason why she's so confident is she's just like, I can wear what I want, and I look great, and why not show it off?
Yeah, no, you're completely right. Like, at that moment, she probably just felt free.
So yeah.
She was free to dress however she wanted to dress, and you can... Definitely tell, like, she doesn't look trapped.
That's so true, because in her engagement photo shoot, you're so right, she looks almost, like, constrained. She's, like, her body language is holding herself in,
closed
literally
off,
closing herself. And in this, her body language is so much more open. She's got, like, this, like, mini chiffon train that's, like, flowing, and she's really sort of stepped into her own and stepped into her place as... Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm. Also, another thing I wanted to touch upon. In this look, she's wearing the same necklace that she wore when she danced with John Travolta. And that's one thing about Princess Diana I admire. She wasn't afraid to, one, rewear things, mm-hmm. which isn't a common occurrence.
I know.
We're not only royals, but celebrities as a whole.
Which is crazy.
And also, Princess Diana was someone who... paired extremely expensive jewelry with extremely, like, non-expensive jewelry and very jewelry that anyone could buy at like a retail store or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like off the rack.
Yeah, exactly. But she still looked $1 million because she knew how to style herself.
Yeah. This is also another really great example and something we are going to continue to talk about as to why she's a style icon, why we continue to look back at Princess Diana for inspiration. She really knew how to use the press to both her advantage, and sometimes the press used her to her disadvantage. This is an example where she really used the press to her advantage because, of course, like we just said, the press and the public just found out that Prince Charles was for sure admittedly having this affair with Camilla. And previously in the press, they had really been dogging her and hounding her and, you know, saying she was the one that broke up the marriage, blah, 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 blah. So this is kind of her moment to step into the spotlight and say, hey, like, you guys were talking trash about me. I'm going to look awesome and I'm going to give you the headline. And also, I think this night, Charles also had a function and she basically took all the headlines away from him and was like, screw you.
It's actually funny how that happened quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, the two of them would have functions or speeches at the same time, but she'd pull in the audience or, like, pull attention away from Charles.
We'll talk about it, like, later in the podcast, but in The Crown, there's a great episode where basically they go to Australia for this tour, and part of the reason why they start fighting in Australia is because she's getting so much more attention than he is, because she's much more, like, down to earth, and she's, like, joking with people, and Charles, again, doesn't really understand part of the function of his job is to, like, be nice to people. So he's just very, like, stiff upper lip, like, this is for politics and all that. So you want to get into some of her other awesome press looks?
Oh, absolutely.
Cool. So one of our favorite Princess Di looks that we brought up is the black sheep sweater.
Which is another instance of when she uses fashion to say something to the public and to media and to paparazzi.
This sweater, the pattern is a bunch of white sheep and then there is one black sheep, and the symbolism of that is really quite clear.
Oh yeah.
Also, another interesting thing about the picture we pulled up is she is taller than Charles. She always had to wear flats around him so they could look the same height, because I think she was
she's like 5'10".
5'10", and he was like 6 foot or something. Mm-hmm. So they were very, very similar in height, or 5'11". So she would always have to wear flats. And one of the things that she said about the revenge dress and about a lot of her later looks when they were separated is, oh, thank God I can wear heels.
Yeah.
Because she missed wearing heels so much, which is very funny. Another moment I would like to talk about is the Taj Mahal moment.
Do you remember any moments where Princess Diana used her style to communicate something beyond just like looking pretty or looking fashionable? I can provide examples if you don't know what I mean by this.
I would, the first one that comes to mind is the Taj Mahal.
Mm.
Because she's in a very nice outfit and she's sitting alone on a bench in front of what is built for a temple of love.
Yeah.
And that's when everyone knew this is over. It's done.
Part of like her relationship, even though she was very, like had a very antagonistic relationship with the press, he also knew how to use the press to her own advantage.
She did know how to use the press to her, yes, I agree with that.
Say what she needed to say.
She got much better at that from the beginning. Mm-hmm. When she's in Balmoral in a plaid outfit to pay homage to Scotland, to where she's using her revenge dress to make a statement. I'm here, I'm confident, and I'm proud.
So in this moment, it's the most iconic picture of this. It's a huge landscape photo of the Taj Mahal. So the Taj Mahal was built in the 1600s by an emperor as a monument to his wife. So it's this huge symbol of undying romantic love. And her and Prince Charles were supposed to go there together, and she ended up going alone. And I mean, she looks fabulous, but she also looks so sad.
That's really heartbreaking.
I know. And it was one of the moments where she was able to kind of communicate to the press the state of the marriage and how she was really feeling. Because, of course, they had to put up like a very public, happy front. As much as, you know, stuff leaked to the press and people would say things, like, obviously none of it was confirmed. So this was one of the moments where people were really like, oh.
Like, yeah, definitely. Like, even just viewing images or video from that day, that she's just walking around this monument to love by herself. And the fact that the Taj Mahal itself is so, it's white, it's very pale, mm-hmm. and it's very intricately adorned.
Yeah.
And then she's just wearing, like, these simple blocks of color, makes yeah. her stand out. I think that's also very visually striking.
Oh, and I'm sure, because she knew that she would have to stand out against this huge, grand, imposing monument. So she picked a jacket that has very sharp shoulder pads, of course, 1980s, yes. hello. And it's in this very bold crimson color with a bright white shirt underneath and then a purple skirt. So everything she's wearing is very colorful and it really makes her stand out. Mm-hmm. That's actually something that the queen does. The queen will wear bright suits because...
Very bright suits.
Yes. I guess all focus has to be on the queen, of course, because she's the queen. So she will wear very bright suits to stand out. And that's maybe a lesson Diana took, was to wear this bright color blocked suit. So people really saw her as well as this monument and what together those two things could mean.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You want to talk about some of her soft diplomacy?
Yes, definitely.
Cool. So soft diplomacy was a term that was coined for when Princess Diana would sort of wear something that would communicate more about a political position or about a charity or about the country that she was in. And it was really a diplomatic touch. One of the best examples of this, she would often wear dresses or garments that would either symbolize the country she was visiting. So for example, it could be in the country's flags, colors, you know, be made from the, like...
A designer from that country.
A designer from that country. It could also be made with a pattern featuring flowers from that country. Mm. One example we picked was her in Japan. She's wearing a Japanese designer, Yuki Torimaru. I also want to touch on the beauty and the headband here because my mom talks about her influence Aww. On that. She loves Princess Diana's headbands. That was huge in the 80s. Her blue eyeliner, of course.
Also, wasn't... I don't know if it was this look in particular, but there was a look, might be this one, where it was actually a necklace, but she wore it as a headband.
Yeah, my mom talks about that. I don't know if it's, this look definitely looks like it could have been a necklace that was maybe repurposed into a headband.
Yeah.
I think that's also something about Diana, had kind of a playful attitude towards fashion, I think.
She experimented.
Mm-hmm. Like we all do, and a lot of her colors were really fun and mm-hmm. bold and bright, and even when she was in these settings where she was expected to be a diplomat and be very professional, that doesn't mean she didn't have fun with what she was wearing.
Oh, absolutely.
And I really love this look. I mean, it's 1980s, but it's kind of the best of 1980s.
Yeah.
It's like everything that was amazing about the 1980s in one beautiful blue satin dress. Mm-hmm. She's got so many beads, dolman sleeves. I mean, obviously it coordinates her engagement ring really well. She mm-hmm. looks amazing, as she always does.
Absolutely.
She also used her clothes to say something about her charity work.
Which is something that she was extremely passionate about.
Yeah, and it's something I think that a lot of people now know her for and know her as very well. I know that's something both of our moms talked about mm-hmm. in terms of why they really admired
Oh yeah.
Princess Diana.
My mom spoke a lot about how, I mean, she was on the younger end mm-hmm. of when Princess Diana was around and extremely in the public eye and doing a lot of her charity work. So she doesn't remember too much about her fashion, but her charity work and her AIDS advocacy and her work with children was yeah. something that stood out to my mom and stood out to everyone, which is why part of the reason why she was so beloved.
Do you remember any moments where Princess Diana used her style to communicate something beyond just a fashionable look? Because Diana basically kind of paved the way for using clothes that she wore day to day to
make statements.
Make statements, yeah.
She did. I just, but I can't, because I was so young, so I really did not pay too much attention or make the connections to those things, because I was just a little girl.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really in tune to that. I was more in tune to the woman.
You're just like, wow, dress pretty.
Yeah, that plus, but I was more into wow, I liked how she is so kind and beautiful to how she treats the children and the I liked how this beautiful woman who is a princess is treating these poor.
Yeah, she was very tactile with children. One of the things she would do is she would always wear like chunky jewelry, so the children, like if she picked them up, they would have something to play with. We pulled a great image of her in a floral dress, and a kid that she's holding is playing with the beads on her necklace, and she just looks so happy.
It's so cute.
And you can really tell in all of the images we pulled, not just this one, she's beaming. I mean, she's so happy and is just really committed to the causes. A lot of the media that I found, that I listened to and watched, talked about how natural she was at just talking to someone, making them feel at ease.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That even though she was technically a royal, that she had this very relatable aura, the way that she spoke to people and communicated with them, and she talked to them as a person, even if they were extremely ill, she didn't ostracize them.
One of the things that You're Wrong About podcast talks about is that apparently she naturally would do the thing where she would sort of kneel and get down on somebody's level. So say somebody was like in a wheelchair, or you know, they were a kid and they were just shorter, she would try and get down to their eye level, which is something that a lot of people talk about in terms of talking to people. You want to get to their eye level. It's great to do with kids, etc., etc. She was also really hands-on both with her children and like all other children, not only children, but people. I mean, we'll get into this, but she was not afraid to like touch people, to give people hugs, to really show them that kind of tactile affection.
Yeah, which everyone needs.
Everyone needs a hug or a handshake or a high five or something. And when you look at the pictures of her with her kids, William and Harry, I mean, she looks like a regular mom. She looks like our moms, like hanging out with us.
It's true.
She had two main charities throughout her life that she was really known for, and one of them was her focus on the AIDS epidemic and the AIDS crisis. And this was something that really changed the world.
One of the causes Diana was very passionate about was the AIDS epidemic. And at that time that she became passionate about that, I was working in an AIDS unit in Omaha, Nebraska at the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. And you didn't know, much like the pandemic, how this disease was transmitted in the very beginning. And then once you did, a whole sector of population became very ostracized. And in addition to the one sector of population, another sector of population with a disease process became ostracized because of their need for blood products. When Princess Diana went in and held hands with an AIDS patient, it changed how those patients were perceived and how that the world could actually touch someone and make a difference with someone in their lives with that disease.
I actually watched an interview yesterday of her from that one where they wouldn't even, you know, the patient didn't even feel comfortable showing his face. It was the picture is just Princess Diana shaking his hand. And then he's totally like, I mean, you can see the back of his head, but you can't see him. And one of the things Ash and I are going to talk about this in the podcast, but that she did with her fashion, just to say something, was it was royal protocol to wear gloves.
Yes.
She would never wear gloves.
Right.
Because it told people, like, these people are safe to touch. They're safe to take care of. Like,
right.
Especially in The Crown, there's that scene where she visits a hospital in Harlem with an AIDS unit. And she says, you know, these children are safe to adopt. And one of the more research I did, the more I realized, like, that was one of those, obviously now it's much different. But back then, it was a cause that needed someone like Princess Diana to say, you know, pay attention to these people. Like, don't just ostracize them.
Yeah, because as you asked me these questions, I remembered back also, and I was telling you about this, there was a boy named Ryan White who had hemophilia, and he was so ostracized at school. And Elton John had to step in. And when Elton John stepped in and helped him, Elton John became ostracized too. So I think Princess Diana and Elton John also bonded together in their cause of supporting the AIDS victims, and that they helped them and helped get rid of the stigma of the disease, that you could actually touch someone who had AIDS. You can talk to someone, take care of someone who had AIDS and be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously now it wasn't, now when we think of HIV or AIDS, it is not as severe as it was, but back then it was very, very life-threatening.
Yes. And it was polarizing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was for her to do that, for her to touch someone without gloves made such a big difference because she used her celebrity status to say that this person is a human and it's okay to touch him.
I mean, it's sort of rare to say that something that one person did changed the world, but her focus and her sort of commitment to talking to AIDS patients really changed the way it was viewed, really started people making policy to start helping AIDS patients. Because obviously, but this was something that no one wanted to talk about. This was something that, much like the COVID-19 pandemic, when it first started, people were very afraid. They didn't really know how it spread. And then, of course, once they did find out how it spread, they were, you know, ostracizing people because it didn't necessarily fit in with the perfect patient or the perfect, you know, I don't know, victim, which nobody's the perfect anything.
Yeah.
So,
especially now.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it can be very hard to get these types of policies off the ground when there's such a stigma towards the disease. And she would use her fashion. One of the things she did was she refused to wear gloves when meeting with AIDS patients, which sounds like a tiny, trivial thing, but it was actually royal policy to wear gloves. And of course, during this time, people were actually afraid to touch AIDS patients.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really sad.
Yeah. And by not wearing gloves, she showed the world. Mm-hmm. And like, she talked about it too in a lot of her interviews. And you could touch them, treat them like people. They're not, it's not, you're not going to get it. That's not how it spreads.
Yeah, exactly.
They shouldn't be treated like they're aliens.
Exactly. And I mean, this was something that obviously now when we think about AIDS, it's, thank God, it's not as life-threatening as it used to be, but this was something that was very, very bad if you got it, and it was practically a death sentence. So, you know, she really used her celebrity. She was like, all right, if you're going to photograph me doing charity work, being in the hospital, giving people hugs so people can see, like, oh, you know, it's safe to touch somebody with AIDS. It's safe to hug someone with AIDS. It's safe to care for somebody with AIDS. And it really, I mean, I don't think we can sort of overstate how impactful it was just for advocacy as a whole towards the AIDS epidemic.
Definitely.
We have two pictures of her here. One thing that really strikes me is in both pictures, she's wearing like very classy business suits, which really shows both the photographers and the audience, us. Like, these are people that are deserving of respect, the respect that you would wear to somebody who you would wear a very classy business suit in. I mean, she looks, it's obviously not like a formal event, but she looks very dressed up, done up. Obviously, in both of these pictures, she's not wearing gloves. She's very tactile with these people. She's smiling super bright. The people look very happy to be with her. One of my most favorite interviews I watched was her with First Lady Bush, and they went to an AIDS ward, and she was like talking to this person like they were just her best friend. Like, she was like patting them on the back and joking, and it was just like somebody that she had known for 5 minutes. And it's so powerful to see someone who's just that able to reach across aisles.
Absolutely. Yeah. Making him feel welcomed. And I also, with the image of her shaking hands with the gentleman in the wheelchair, that she's lowering herself to his level, like you mentioned before.
Yeah, they're like at eye contact level and image. I don't think we have it in front of us, but a very famous image that my mom actually talked about was her, again, in a very similar business-like suit, meeting an AIDS patient who his head is actually, he's like facing the back of the camera because it was so stigmatized at the time. He was only willing to be photographed from the back of the head, and they could only get one person to even do that, like one patient, because it was such a, like, if you had AIDS, you were this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
So in addition to the AIDS crisis, Princess Diana also did a lot of work about the removal of landmines. The charity she partnered with, actually the year after her death, won the Nobel Peace Prize.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. She's such a cool lady. In the two images we pulled, she's wearing, contrasting to her visits with AIDS patients where she really wanted to demonstrate that these people are worthy of respect, they're worthy of dressing up for, she was in an area where you would want to be dressing down. So she's wearing super simple khakis, jeans, and a polo shirt. But it communicates something so different. Like, I'm here to work. I'm here to, like, get stuff done.
Yeah.
As opposed to this other meeting where it's like, I'm here to show these people respect, to show them love.
And it definitely shows that she's clearly in touch and in tune with the events that's going on, and that she's trying to show that she's not so different from everyone else around her. Like, she's not going and walking around like the one scene from The Crown. She's not dressed in a designer suit and heels walking around like
a disaster zone, basically.
Exactly.
Your mom said it best, but she talked a lot about dressing for the occasion, and that was something Diana knew how to do super well.
Poor little children. I was more into that versus the statement that she's making with the clothes. You know? Yeah. I was more into the statement that she's making towards the people, the kindness that she is towards the people.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure you, even if it was subconscious, I'm sure you noticed that, like, Diana dressed like a normal person a lot of times.
Yeah, that she wasn't always with the bling bling or another. She dressed prim and proper and very subdued and very
honestly classy. I feel like because
she was very classy,
because you're like
elegant,
yes, but like you're very much the kind of person that's always like dress upscale casual when you go to events, dress nice, and it's probably just like from Princess Diana's influence on you.
That's actually true because she knew exactly how to dress for the occasion. She knew exactly how to dress for the occasion. Each occasion has a way to dress for.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. She does.
It's a little bit of psychology for you. I just cracked the case.
Yeah. And that's what I loved about her. That's what I loved.
Sorry, keep jumping.
You know, she always knew what to wear that would show the most respect and gravitas, I suppose you could say, to the situation, whether it was an evening function in Japan where she's wearing a beautiful blue gown made by a Japanese designer, or a business suit, or a pair of jeans and a polo shirt. She found a way to say something, even if it was just, I'm just going to wear jeans and a polo shirt because I'm here to work and I'm here to be in the dirt.
Yes.
One of the most famous images of this is her wearing a bulletproof vest and a face shield in an area with landmines. It was referred to as a landmine walk. The craziest thing, she had to do this twice.
Oh.
Because apparently they, like, didn't get good photos the first time. So she had to walk through a minefield.
That's terrifying.
It's horrifying. But she, I cannot imagine.
She looks like she's going on a little stroll.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a stroll. I would call it horrifying and a haunted house. So scary. I mean, again, this was a huge issue during the time because a lot of these landmines were present after civil wars or after conflict, and they would sort of be there and nobody could disable them.
Yeah.
So this is something that actually Prince Harry recreated recently. This halo truss is still around.
Mm.
It's very fascinating that, you know, the two causes that she picked, AIDS epidemic and landmine removal, when she put her mind to it, she had such a impact on these two causes.
Oh, absolutely. She brought the public eye to see these horrible events and to hopefully bring awareness and to actually do something about it. Like, I was watching some clips from when she went to visit tuberculosis patients well. And yeah, her charity work is incredible and just trying to bring awareness and to do what she can to help them.
And of course, bringing awareness obviously isn't everything. You know, she's a very wealthy lady, so she can make money. But I think it's also, we can't always discount the idea of, like, this beautiful princess going to visit landmines and seeing, like, this needs attention. Like, if you're going to photograph me doing my work.
Yes.
And I think that's really admirable and shows her sort of growing up.
She took the cards that she was dealt, the situation she was in, and she used it to her advantage to do some good. And the world saw that and respected her for it.
I know. I love her so much.
Everyone loves her.
I feel like as both of the two of us have researched and talked to our moms, we just, every time we see each other, we're like, I love Diana. And then we're like, I watched this Diana thing after work. I know I shouldn't do work on after hours, but she's so fascinating.
She is.
Not only did she wear pants to work, but she would actually wear pants to functions as well.
Yeah, and she's credited to being the first member of the British royal family to actually wear pants to a function.
Yeah, we should say the first female member.
Female, yes.
Yeah.
Not member as all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that the first female member was wearing pants in the 1980s or 1970s. Like, pants have existed for, you know.
To be honest, in a lot of more ways than one, which we'll talk about mm-hmm. towards the end, that Princess Diana really pulled the royal family into the modern times.
Yeah, I mean, she really, it sounds cliche, but she was a trendsetter, and she was also, like, came from this different background than the royal family. And was just like, no, I'm here, and I'm going to do it my way.
Absolutely. And speaking of trendsetter, I know there's a lot of pressure with Prince Harry and Prince William's spouses and always mm-hmm. being compared to Princess Diana.
Yeah.
But Meghan Markle also wore a suit to her first evening engagement.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
I'm sure there are many pictures of both Meghan and Kate wearing pantsuits to functions.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really do research on the two of them just because, obviously, I think they often unfairly get compared to Diana.
All the time.
Really kind of weird to compare what would have been Diana's daughters-in-law to her. I don't know. Very strange, but mm-hmm. I'm sure this is a huge precedent. You know, she said, no, I can do this and look professional and look cool and classy.
Absolutely. And she does.
Yeah. You want to talk about some of the other trends she set?
Yes.
Woo! So in 2021, obviously, all of us are, I think, a little obsessed with Princess Di. We're seeing a lot of revival of her style. One of the biggest things we've seen is bike shorts. Hello. I think we've all worn the classic Princess Diana combo of a statement pullover graphic sweater with bike shorts. All of the pictures of her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We pulled a couple of pictures of both Princess Diana wearing bike shorts and sweatshirts and some modern day celebrities wearing bike shorts and sweatshirts. One of the ones we laughed about was Kendall Jenner wearing bike shorts, sweatshirts, and stiletto high heels.
They're not even boot high heels. Like, they're just normal stiletto high heels, but with tall socks.
It's so weird, because clearly when you look at the pictures of Diana, I mean, she looks like she's going to work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like she looks like a normal person ready to work out. And the other image we pulled is of Hailey Bieber, and she looks, again, just like a normal person ready to work out. But it is funny as to how much she's affected that, like, even this look where Kendall Jenner's clearly dressed up, but she's trying to look like, oh, I'm just Princess Diana going to work out.
Uh-huh.
Like,
trying to be that relatable.
That vibe. We also are seeing a huge rise in puff and statement sleeves. Obviously, this is one of the biggest.
As I open my sweater, and I too am wearing a puff sleeve.
Oh my
God. I'm actually going to take it off.
Obviously, her wedding dress was the queen of puff and statement sleeves.
For real.
But she wore them all the time, and this is one of the biggest trends we're seeing. We have so many free patterns online that are statement sleeves. We have, like, the Clark coat, the Willow cardigan, the Bridgerton dress,
yes,
which is, like, our most shared free pattern, is a puff sleeve pattern. I mean, they're back in a very huge way. And I've pulled, again, two images of Diana wearing some statement sleeves and two images. One is from a designer company and one is just from Target. And just seeing how this idea of the statement sleeve and the puff sleeve has really, it's everywhere.
Oh, yes.
We cannot escape it.
It's surrounding us.
It's everywhere. With the renewed public interest in Diana, we're also seeing a bunch of new popular media of her. Most recently, obviously, The Crown. We've mm-hmm. mentioned it before. You want to talk about those costumes?
Yes.
They're amazing. So cool.
They're very cool. And very, honestly, like, a lot of comparisons mm-hmm. between the outfits that are worn in The Crown and the actual outfits, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Apparently, the designers of her wedding dress actually gave the costume designer of The Crown
yeah.
the original pattern, which
is
so
cool.
Thanks. The one thing I will say I was disappointed with The Crown is they made this huge hype about the wedding dress, and I was so excited to see the wedding dress, and it was in the show for like 5 minutes. I was like, oh, I want an entire episode of the wedding dress.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they did her style, I think, really right. Mm-hmm. Obviously, The Crown season 5 is coming up. As we're recording this, I don't know when you're listening, but as we're recording this, the pictures of the new Diana, Elizabeth Debicki, just dropped, with her.
In the revenge dress.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She looks fantastic. I mean, she's like 6'3" or something, and she looks amazing. I know, tall Diana. Like,
tall
Diana. I'm here for it. There's also Diana the Musical. We're not going to talk about that one. And as my sacrifice for this podcast, I decided I would listen and review all of the Diana media. So I watched part of the Diana musical, and I could not stomach it because I hated it so much. So
just a strange topic to create a musical around.
There are some cool moments. I think some of the costume changes were cool. But
I like to see that.
Yeah, like on a technical level, I thought it was very impressive. But like in terms of content, I was like, I can't do this, y'all. The one I did like much more was Spencer, which just came out as we're recording this past weekend, mm-hmm. with Kristen Stewart as Princess Diana. And I really liked this one. I really recommend it. If anyone's listening, I will just say it is quite an intense film and really gets into a lot of her mental health issues quite vividly. So just be prepared, but it's really well done. They do a lot of her, what would have been her style, very well. Mm. And I think it also, it uses the costumes to tell the story, but it doesn't sort of oversell the costumes. It's more about her and her life, which I really quite liked.
The costumes is just an accent.
Yeah, this like beautiful accent piece to this beautiful film. I mean, it's beautifully mm-hmm. photographed and the set's gorgeous. I think they filmed it in Germany, so it's beautiful to look at. And I really recommend it. And Kristen Stewart did a great job portraying Diana. TikTok is also obsessed with Diana.
Yes. Yeah. The rise of... We touched upon it before that a whole new generation's falling in love with Diana, and that's TikTok definitely helped that.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
100%. I mean, there's a bunch of sounds from The Crown trend like all the time.
Sounds that I didn't even realize were from The Crown.
Yeah.
Until I actually watched the clips. I was like, that's where that's
from. British people yelling, and then you're like, oh, it's The Crown. Like, also, people will post things that are like old Diana tea and they'll like bring it back up for TikTok. It's very funny.
Which is, because I was just thinking, like, that probably is so weird for like Charles and Camilla, because I'm like, a
lot
of the
tea
that...
They don't even know what TikTok is.
Yeah,
Charles and Camilla.
True.
They have no idea. Like, absolutely no idea. All right, so as we near the end of our report on Princess Diana, what did you take away from researching her these past couple of weeks?
How absolutely influential she is to not just fashion but to history as a whole. Her advocacy work and her love for children and her statement pieces.
I think not only did she change the royal family, of course now they're doing more things where they're more relatable to the public and mm-hmm. they're more conscious about wearing designers of the places they visit, but
yes.
her entire life, at least towards the public eye, of course we didn't know Diana, just seemed to be about like picking yourself up when you're down, which is something we can all relate to. I also brought this up in a meeting, but I think a lot of her things that she dealt with are things we've all kind of dealt with. Like dealing with, you know, pressure, and like my mom had kids right around when Diana had kids, so like it was also hugely influential to see just a young woman who was figuring out motherhood, like, because mm-hmm. obviously no one gives you like a rule book on how to do that. And she not only did she care about others and really dedicated her life to caring about others, she changed the way that we look at celebrities and the way we view how fame and status can be used, and how fashion as well can be used for saying something more than just, oh, I look amazing. Because she looked amazing, but she was like, I'm going to say something else because I'm going to get photographed anyway. So, all right. Well, that concludes our section on Princess Diana. We love her. And we just want to say thank you to our moms for being the best moms ever.
Thank you, moms.
Thank you, moms. Say thank you for your mom today.
Yeah. Call your mom.
Call your mom.
Any final thoughts? Yeah, I wish she was still alive. I think everything would have been way much different with the boys and the family. She really didn't deserve the ending that she got. You know, she should have... She deserved a happy life. She deserved a happy marriage. You know, she got a raw deal. She really shouldn't have married Charles.
Now he's a butt.
Yeah, I wish she had gotten the divorce that she deserved and married the man that she did love.
and had a happy ending. She deserved it. She was a good woman.
Thank you, Mama.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me, Mom. I just have one last question.
Yes.
Now that she is influencing another generation, as someone who grew up with Princess Diana and loved Princess Diana, what do you hope people remember about her?
I hope people remember and take away from Princess Diana that she was an empowering female who used her fashion to convey what she wanted to. And I think about when she visited the landmines, that she had on simple khakis and a blue shirt and a face shield and walked through landmines. And yeah, if you think about that in relation to her whole life, she walked through landmines her whole life. And she came out empowered and strong and raised her children and tried to lead a happy and productive life and tried to make a difference in the world. And now Nanny can say hi.
Hi, Nanny.
Hi, Camille. Would you like to know what I liked about Princess Diana?
Sure.
I liked her simplicity of design, but the use of color in the material that brought the design out.
Yeah, that's a sewer's answer, isn't it?
That's a sewer's answer.
That's right.
You have three generations. There you go.
Right.
All right. You want to talk about what's new at Mood?
Yes.
Woo. So Black Friday's coming up.
Oh, God.
Get your wallets ready.
A scary time.
It's a fun time, but it's a scary time for us who work here because we're like all sort of frantically like, oh, everything has to be ready. But we're really excited. Yes. We've got some really, really cool stuff. We can't exactly say what everything is, but we can say that there will be daily sales leading up to Black Friday. And these are super exclusive sales. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to get them again. And they're for items that are either high ticket item or there's something that is really popular. So
yes, lots and lots of exclusive holiday bundles.
Yes.
For gift giving just in time for the holiday season.
So excited.
Holiday deals daily for the first 12 days of December.
Yeah, as well as the Black Friday deals. We also have the 12 days of Mood deals for the first 12 days of December. So if you happen to miss Black Friday, don't worry about it. There's still good sales coming up.
Yes.
For the bundles, we always have mystery kits and our beginner and intermediate sewing kits, but these are specifically for the holiday season, so we're really excited.
That being said, though, definitely prepare for national shipping delays.
Yes. Just heads up, we've been experiencing them. I'm sure you guys have too. Just with the holiday season and with everything, there's probably going to be national shipping delays. So the earlier the better in terms of buying your gifts this year.
Yes, I need to do that as well.
Me as well. All right. Talk about the new fabrics that got in.
Woo!
So we have a new Mood exclusive collection.
Yay!
Woo! It's called the Wisteria Collection.
Lots of purples.
I love this collection. My favorite one is the Come Again Soon fabric.
That's
with the little shopping bags.
Those are cute.
And one of them says thanks for nothing on it, which I find really funny. I just want to make like a little tote bag with it and then like carry that in to the grocery store.
That's smart.
I know.
You should do it.
And then it has bags on it, so it's like meta. We also have some new linens in and some newly discounted items. So cotton prints, jerseys, a bunch of viscose items.
Mm-hmm.
They're all Mood exclusives, so that's exciting. In terms of notions and buttons, we have a bunch of new Guterman threads, which are hand quilting and machine embroidery. So that's something I don't really do, but I've been looking to get into machine embroidery in particular.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I've done a little bit of machine embroidery.
Yeah, it's really cool. And especially with the gift-giving season, obviously, I'm sure lots of people are wanting to stock up on machine embroidery threads to get all of their projects done.
Make your own gifts, too.
Yes, that's always fun.
Yeah.
So that's there for you. Also, quilting, of course, giving quilts during the holiday season is a classic.
Yes.
We also, this is a exclusive, we have some new Tula Pink and Olfa products that will not be up when this podcast releases, but within a few weeks. I'm so excited about these. They're so cool and cute, and I can't wait for you guys to see them. They're perfect for your sewing studio and to add a little bit of whimsy. And the Olfa products as well are just great all-around products to have. I mean, everyone needs a good rotary cutter, so...
Yes, absolutely.
Highly recommend.
And now, new free patterns!
Woo!
A lot of these free patterns, all these free patterns, are perfect for as the weather becomes colder and perfect for the holidays.
Yeah.
The first free pattern, new free pattern, is the Briar Top.
Yay, I love this one.
Very cute.
Yeah, perfect for any fans of royals out there. It has a corset.
Yes.
So,
but it's still comfy if you make yours like how we made ours in our knits.
Yeah, we have some really cozy knits. I just posted one to the Facebook group the other day that I've been obsessed with because they're so soft. I love this top. I think it's really great. It's also a great sort of cottagecore, royaltycore top if that's something you're interested in.
It's true. And speaking of, our caraway top, our caraway blouse, can also very much mimic that silhouette of the cottagecore.
Yeah, royalty cottagecore look. I think it also gives me Diana vibes with her blue dress that she wore in Japan. Yeah. It's got that kind of flowy vibe, especially if you made it out of like a satin or like a silk charmeuse. That would be so pretty.
It's very true.
Yeah. What's our next one?
Our next one is also equally as pretty, is the Lennox dress,
which love this one.
Very, very perfect for the holiday season. If you celebrate Christmas, and even if you don't, if you make it out of a velvet or a velour, very luxurious, cute, and comfortable.
Yeah, I feel like we all have holiday parties coming up, whether you celebrate the holidays or not, at work, in life, New Year's Eve. This, I think, is a really great option.
Yeah, a night on the town.
Hey, you don't have to wear it to a holiday party. You can just wear it.
Exactly.
Like, no one's stopping you.
Our last pattern is our Annie jacket, which Western vibes, the Western look is very much trending. And since it's fall and the colder months are just around the corner, it's perfect when you start layering your clothes.
Yeah, we made this one on the blog out of one of our Wisteria collection fabrics. It looks really, really cool. I'm very excited. We paired it with the Ren jeans and kind of made them into a patchwork situation. It looks so cool. I love this jacket. I love anything to do with the Wild Wild West.
Me too.
So I am so in love with this. All right, so that does it for us this month at Mood Society Podcast. We hope you have a lovely holiday. We will be back in December. And have fun. Stay safe.
Eat lots of food.
Happy sewing.
Thank you for listening to the Mood Society Podcast. We are produced by Mood Designer Fabrics and the Mood Society blog. Be sure to follow us on social media for sewing and podcast updates. We are at Mood Fabrics on Instagram, Pinterest, and TikTok. Join our Facebook group, linked in the description, if you'd like to directly interact with us, ask us questions, and post updates on what you've been making. And if you're loving the podcast, be sure to give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends. Whether you're sewing, crafting, designing, or just hanging out, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.